sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and I'm here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
Well, I'm doing well today. How about you, Mark?
Good. I feel like saying the word Becky.
There you go.
I like it.
Hey,
I like it.
Music to my ears.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
You know, this is a special day in our family. Very special day. I have two of our sons are career military officers. And each of them have had friends who have been lost, given their life for the freedoms that all of us enjoy. So I think about them. I think about what must be going through their heads today in this weekend and in their heart, because it's heavy when you lose a comrade, especially under your watch, right? So happy birthday, Will. I know you're probably not listening in Korea, but I think about you mostly because of your young soldier that was lost in Afghanistan. So anyway.
You have one stationed overseas, one stationed
within the country, one that travels a lot. Yeah. He's in intel, so he travels a lot.
Your family is in the midst of military family, and it's just a tremendous weekend remembering all the sacrifices that people have made so that we can live this freedom that we live.
And, I mean, we have freedom to decide what gender we are. We have freedom to decide what type housing we want, what kind of jobs, whether we want to work or not. We've got lots of freedoms here.
We get to decide whether we want to work or not?
No, I'm trying to figure out. You don't live in that world, Mark.
I'm trying to figure out how that works.
You are on the Becky Ivins team, so you do not get that.
We work.
Yes,
but we work for you, and we have our guest here as someone who works for our clients and does a tremendous job during the inspection is Scott Hill with Call Us First Inspections. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I appreciate it, Mark. Appreciate it, Becky. And my hat's off and hearts out to all those people, too, that have given their lives over the years and the ones that are participating as we speak for the freedoms that at some point in time, you know, we really don't deserve, but we have because of them. So
So we thank all you veterans out there and veteran families.
Yes, because it's not just the active duty personnel, it's the family members that surround them. And one of the joys that we have is serving so many military families, helping military families find homes through the years. I mean, it can be a unique challenge as they move from base to base.
And do you know something? We help them not just in Oklahoma, but a lot of my boys, I mean, they're certainly in their 30s and 40s at this point, but they have friends who need help finding a good realtor in other parts of the country. And it's rare that I don't know somebody that is excellent at their job and will serve a military family anywhere in Canada or in the U.S.
You have a tremendous network of just top shelf realtor friends. So if you or a family member or a friend is needing to purchase or sell a home in a different community than Oklahoma or the Oklahoma metro area, give us a call, 405-722-3232 at the office. And I almost guarantee, 99.9% guarantee, that Becky will know someone in that market that can help your family or friend. That number is 722-3232, and make sure in the 405, we have to put 405 in front of it now. So, but this morning, we're talking about inspections.
We are talking about inspections, and Scott, you do a lot of inspections for us. You do most of our inspections, actually. And I ran across somebody, was it yesterday at a closing? I'm trying to remember who it was. It was not you that did the inspection, by the way, mm-hmm. but somebody else did. And they couldn't get their air conditioner to turn on. And it was a new home.
Oh, okay.
And we encourage people to get inspections on new homes, brand new construction, because the builder can go back to the subcontractors and get the subcontractor to fix it. Whereas if you wait 18 months, 2.5 years, you're going to have to fix it yourself.
Yeah, it does. It makes total sense to have an inspection on a new home, and we do quite a few of those. And there's two reasons. Number one is because it's kind of like my wife tells me. She said, Scott, I guess you're a good inspector, but you don't fix very much around the house. You know, and same thing happens, I think, with these general managers. They are in such a hurry to get out and go through the house and see what's there and see what might be missing, needs to be fixed. And they put these pieces of blue tape everywhere. But inevitably, they just miss things. They're going through their little checklist, and they miss things, and we happen to find them. The other thing that has helped us in our business model is that we do the inspection, and you guys know this, and then we come back 11 months later and do a warranty inspection for half price. And we usually pay for ourselves 2 or 3 times over with that warranty inspection at 11 months. You have the initial inspection that we can draw off of, and then you have go in and do another one in 11 months, and then you've still got the builder that has to come back in and fix everything that they find then.
Whether you get a written inspection at the time of your purchase, which you should, I mean a written warranty, in Oklahoma, builders have to give a one-year warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they gave it to you in writing or not, they have to stand up to that. So going back in at the 11-month mark, and identifying everything that needs to be fixed makes sense. I remember who somebody we had lunch with yesterday was Linder from F&M Bank.
F and M Bank. It's kind of like M&Ms. Like you have to separate the words F and M.
Right,
yeah.
As in Farmers and Merchants.
Farmers and Merchants.
Yeah. He bought a brand new house, and he said, you know, we haven't really had since April. We haven't had any terrible. We've been using the thermostat, and we've been comfortable enough. But I forgot whether it was heat or air, but something he turned on. And he was going, well, it just didn't change the temperature in the house. Mm. And he had a home inspection, but he called the builder. The builder sent the heat and air company out, who said, oh, well, this never has been hooked up. So no wonder your thermostat didn't respond, because it was like not plugged in or not something. I mean, it just never was operational.
So I had one that we caught before. It was right before wintertime on that inspection, brand new home. And the gas was just not hooked up to the gas unit in the roof, in the
mm-hmm.
ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not, if we had not had it professionally inspected, it would not have been caught until their first winter, where they would have turned it on and went, why is this not working?
Mm-hmm. Well, and another one I had was a builder's home himself, actually.
I remember the story.
After 2 years, I sold the house for him.
Mm-hmm.
As builders often will change houses every 2 years. And there was no insulation in the attic whatsoever.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he didn't notice that because he had a bookkeeper paying all his bills. So, but he kept himself comfortable using a lot of power.
Uh-huh.
But a home inspector certainly would have caught that. And Scott Hill with Call Us First would have definitely caught the fact that there was no insulation in the attic. And they leave that's the last thing they do in a house, by the way, mm-hmm. is put insulation in the attic, because they have to wait until the city signs off on all the permits and does their final inspection and stuff.
Well, we shared our favorite stories, Becky, and after the break, Scott's going to share his favorite stories when we're talking about home inspections here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
Okay, I've been waiting for this. Scott Tell us a story or two of things you found on inspections.
Well, the most unique inspection experience that I've ever had was about a year ago. I was called by an attorney. An attorney asked me to do an inspection. Doesn't matter where for who, but they wanted me to do an inspection, and I said, sure, I'll do it. And we settled on a price, and the price happened to be $450. And I was going to do it. They wanted it done on a Saturday morning. And I said, okay, I'll come do it on Saturday morning. So long story short, I pull up in front of the house, and as I pull up, there's a police car parked about two houses down. And I went around him, went up to the house where I was going to do the inspection, and there's a nice couple sitting out on the porch, you know, about my age, 65, 66 years old, sitting there. And so before I could get out, the cop comes up and parks next to me to where I couldn't open the door. And he moves his finger like roll down the window. So I rolled down the window, and he said, are you the inspector? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, don't go in there until I'm done. Just sit right here. So I'm going, what is this? You know, I had no idea. So anyway, again, I'll speed it up. He goes, in a few minutes, everybody in the house is walking out, three people, and they walk out and leave. He says, okay, do your inspection. So, as always, I'll walk through the house and get started a little bit. The house was relatively dirty, and he's just following me step by step. And as I'm going
the police through, officer's
the
following
the police officer's
you?
Following me step by step and says, don't ask any questions. Just do what you do. So I started on the inside, and I went out to the garage and opened one of the closets where the furnace and the hot water heater were. And down next to the hot water heater was this jug about 4 feet tall that was clear with a mask coming out of the spool of it with a white substance down at the bottom. And I turned around to the cop. I said, is this the reason you're following me around? He shoves me out of the way and looks at it. He said, yep, here's your check. You can leave. It was a meth house. And they just had to have somebody else to come over there and do the inspection. They couldn't get permission from the owner to go in themselves. So they got an inspection. So I found the meth.
There you go.
Got paid $450, but that's the oddest one that I've been on for sure.
You know, that was not safe, because if they knew there was meth in there, they should have had you rubber gloved up and in a respirator.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting. Just having a policeman follow you around is interesting enough. But
well, that'd be a little unnerving, wouldn't it?
It was.
I'd be going, well, yes, I did speed on my way here.
At the end of the day, though, you know, it was a 20-minute inspection. $450 wasn't bad. That's,
there you
that's
go.
That's the other part about it.
Yeah, that drug money's good money.
So the couple that was the in their 60s probably were the homeowners?
They were there. You know, they asked him to leave before they were there. And when I walked out, there was another cop pull up. He put me in the back seat, just maybe sign all the documents that I had no idea I was going to sign. But, yep.
Well, if you want to join the conversation and have a question for Scott Hill about drug enforcement or inspections or what you should inspect at your home, you can give us a call and join the conversation at 840-1000, 405-840-1000. That was a pretty good story.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of free lunches at Casa Perico.
Oh, boy.
As well. So if you call in and you're part of our conversation, we'll send you a free lunch. I ate there yesterday. It was so good. I hadn't been there in a while, and it was so good. Fajitas. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, okay, well, you got another story for us?
Well, I think Mark brought up something earlier. I think probably this, I would be remiss if I didn't mention to everybody listening out there, there's a couple of things that would really like to bring up about this spring. And I think in spring and the fall, it's really, really important. Home inspectors, we walk in and we look at the furnace, and we'll look at the condenser outside for the heat and air. And I would just really like to remind everybody, if they're not on a program, they really should be on a program with their heat and air unit, both the condenser as well as the furnace, to get those checked at least once a year. And, you know, it's $150, but changing your filters and having that checked every year, or maybe even twice a year if it's an older unit, if it's over 10 years old, can really increase the longevity of the unit. So I really felt that I ought to say that, because we find so many where the filter's bad and it hasn't been serviced in two or three years. The next thing you know, the appreciation of that unit has dramatically dropped, and it's real easy to do. It doesn't cost you very much, and certainly will save you in the end.
Well, you know, and a lot of people think it's okay to change their filters every year or every 6 months. I know that we're on a 3-month rotation at our house. And when we did construction, we were on, at times, a daily rotation, but at least every week because of the dust that was in the air. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep that in mind. Your units work too hard trying to suck through that solid dust layer in your filters if you're not careful. Costs you more, makes it wear out more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, there's peak times in the year. When, you know, the summer's coming along. You really need to do that when your air conditioner's working as hard as it is. And then in the peak of the winter, when it's the coldest, do the same thing. It's really important, you know, be on a 2-month and then maybe a 6-month cycle after that. But
yeah,
during that 4-month period of the two peak seasons, it's really important.
You know, I was telling you a story during our break about a non-standard material being used that was written up on an inspection, and it was and I've seen this with two different non-standard materials. One was a little plastic tube that you would use like to backwash a pool or mm-hmm. something like that, used as a drain line from the sink, and it ran into the bathtub. Another one that I've seen is a radiator hose being used instead of the P-trap, just a radiator hose mm-hmm. taped up in there. I guess it works, but I mean, non-standard material. Wait, there's a lot to do. Call us first. Home Inspections is who we call first. And if you're looking for a good home inspector, we only use the best. I mean, why would we use anybody else if we're needing a home inspected? The thing with a home inspection is we want the home inspector to find everything. It's easier to deal with them with issues if you find them up front. So that's how we work.
And we're going to come back right after the news break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here talking with Scott Hill from Call Us First Inspections. And if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. Now, Scott, during the break, we were talking about a floor, and Becky used a term that I had never heard of before, of a screed. And so that becomes our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing with a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700.
Okay. I always thought this was screed with a T on the end, but it is screed with a D on the end. And I ran into this in the village, and there's a few homes in the village that were built this way. Now, if you look up the definition, it is more like a thin layer of concrete on top of a wood floor to give it stability. However, what I ran into in the village was exactly the opposite. You walk into the front door and out the back door, and you're at ground level. There's no steps. So you know there's got to be a crawl space if it's wood, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I could feel that it was wood. There was give to it. So I called Bill Graves over at Any Hour Pest Control, because Bill always knows everything. He's been around a while. And I said, how can you do this? It's a wood floor right on the ground. That's not good. He said, oh, that's a screed floor. That's where you have concrete, but they put wood on top of it. It's just built up a couple of inches, and there's just a layer of wood. And I'm thinking, why would they do that? And I'm not sure why they did that, except that everyone was used to wood floors at that point in time, because those were the early 50s usually.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no crawl space under it, but it's a screed floor. Now, they do that actually upstairs in homes. If you have an upstairs, lots of times you will find a thin layer, and thin is less than 4 inches if it has to do with the floor. And it's usually about an inch and a half. Is that right, Scott? Mm-hmm. When you go upstairs and they pour concrete over the wood floor, and it gives it more stability. Like if you're going to put ceramic tile down or something like that, there's more stability and less chance of cracking. Mm-hmm. So screed, S-C-R-E-E-D, is our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, which, by the way, if you got hail damage, you need to call Robbins. Let them handle your whole insurance claim. I had two calls this week, and thank you, folks, for calling me, because they said, okay, who should I call to replace windows? I got windows broken. I said, call Robbins Roofing. Do they do windows? I said, they're going to take care of your gutter. They're going to take care of your windows. They're going to take care of your pool tile. They're going to take care of course, your shingles. Mm-hmm. But they will handle everything because they're contractors.
The fascia around it, they'll...
Yes, all the little things, that getting it painted, because a lot of paint was knocked off with that hailstorm.
Oh boy.
So you can get it repainted. So don't forget to call a real professional there. So Robbins Roofing is a good one to call.
And their number again is 728-3700. And any of these, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, or give us a call at the office if you have a question that, you know, we're not covering in some way. If we don't know the immediate answer, we'll search it out. We'll find it for you. It's that kind of help.
We don't just make it up?
I try not to. I get in trouble for when I do.
We do not make it up. We mentioned crawl spaces.
Yeah.
Okay, now that is something on a home inspection. You would think you'd just have to glance under the house, right? But there's a lot to check in a crawl space.
Oh, my gosh.
And a lot of danger for a home inspector crawling under there, right, Scott?
Yeah, there really is, particularly this time of year. If you get an inspector that refuses to go underneath the crawl space, now there are some dimensions there with the crawl space opening that, you know, it's supposed to be 18 inches by 18 inches, and if it's any smaller than that, then by a rule from the CIB, we don't have to enter. But we encourage all the people that work with me, including myself, to do everything you can to get in and underneath the crawl space. It's about a 15-20 minute ordeal, and you know the piping normally is going to be underneath there. Your plumbing, and if you've got old cast iron, then it's going to be rusted to some degree, and you can have ratchets that are rusted. And then looking at the under structure of the joists and so forth of the floors, very, very important there too. So getting in and out of a crawl space is one of the most important things for a home that age that you can do, particularly from a structural perspective, looking at the piers and a number of different things. From the scary point of view, there are a lot of things I can tell you. I've come upon a live raccoon that, thank goodness, was on the other side and ran from me. I've come upon several animals that have gone up in and died underneath there. But the scariest thing are snakes. You know, this time of year, particularly the snakes scale over their eyes, particularly the venomous ones. They're just now coming out of hibernation, and the scales still in their eyes, and they have a tendency to strike anything that they feel heat from. And so a lot of times you just come right up on them. Later on in the year when the scales all gone, then they run from you just like anything else. But, yeah, it's something that we certainly want to we don't necessarily look forward to, but it's a necessity of the job that we certainly do and insist that our people do.
You know, is it wrong for gas pipes – to be laid on the ground under a house?
Gas pipes, yes, to some degree, but more electrical. You know, electrical wiring laying on the ground really needs to be sutured up with the joist, as the gas pipes do. Having any kind of piping laying on the ground in a crawl space is really not something that we would write up, in other words, and have on our inspection
report. We sold
report.
A house, and there was some kind of a gas issue, and someone scooted under the house to look and disturbed the dirt where the gas pipe was. And the gas pipe was like an eyelet gas pipe. Those of you who know what eyelet is, mm-hmm. It had lots of holes in it. And so the gas just started coming out of this pipe. It had been covered up with dirt. So the the mud had pretty well just kind of sealed the pipe up.
Mm-hmm.
So any pipes that are in the ground, and lots of times you'll find the drain pipes. Well, because they have to go into the ground.
Yeah, the sewer pipes coming into the coming in underneath the joist.
And that cast iron, more often than not, on when you've got cast iron under your house, you have the top part of a cast iron pipe. The bottom part is rusted out so often.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's some of the things that you find.
Sure, and you know, the first thing we always report back to the client, whoever the client is, and the realtor we're working with, what's going on there. If it's cast iron, that's a big piece. Galvanized steel, depending on how it looks. But if it's been replaced by a PVC, white PVC, then that's really always a positive thing for the house. Obviously, the leaking's worse than anything else. But one of the things that scares us as inspectors are electrical lines. If you've got pooling water underneath and you have electrical lines obviously laying on the floor underneath the joist of, in the crawl space, that can be a little scary as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Every time I see a crawl space, I'm thinking the inspector's going to earn his money on yeah, this
true.
One.
That's true.
Yeah, is with that.
So, speaking of crawl spaces, so many people still seal up the crawl space. You know, there's vents around a crawl space, mm-hmm. supposed to be, and they seal those up, especially during the winter, so that it doesn't freeze under there.
Well, you shouldn't do that. You need ventilation for both summer and heat. You certainly want to make sure that there's air flowing through both the attic as well as the crawl space if you have it. And sealing up the crawl space entrance is really, I mean, sealing it up to the point to where it's closed securely is one thing, but nailing it or securing it with screws, really you shouldn't do that, because if you have a leak underneath there, somebody's going to have to get underneath there and fix it. And the quicker they can get there, the better off it'll be.
Scott, I had something happen this last week that I haven't had before. Is I had a buyer looking at a house who walked around to every wall, tapping on the wall, trying to figure out if there's enough insulation. I was sitting there thinking, it looks like he's like checking a cantaloupe in a grocery store. So how do you know there's enough insulation in a wall?
Well, it'll depend a lot on the age of the house. You can do that. You can figure it out a little bit, or whether it's fallen or not. But more than anything else, you want to make sure that the vapor barrier is long, particularly with brick homes. The insulation, obviously, but the vapor barrier is the most important part of that, to make sure that the water goes down in between the bricks, down to the weep holes, and come out. Insulation, really the only way you can figure that out for sure is to cut a hole in there and look in there. I mean, you can tap around on there kind of like the termite guys do and figure that out, but I don't think that's one of the things that our guys would go tapping around and then make a comment as to whether the insulation was appropriate or not. That's just not the clue that you use.
Well, if you want to find out about what's happening in your house, you don't have to wait to buy a new house to figure it out, because sometimes you just kind of want to know what's happening in your house. You can give them a call at Call Us First. Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and take a look. And we'll be back after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
We've got a caller that wants to be part of our conversation. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Is this Mark?
Yeah.
Good morning, Mark. What can we help you with?
Well, I got a good one for you. You'll like this, okay?
Okay.
All my old houses have crawl spaces and gas lines, under there where they belong. But I was working on one not long ago, and every time I walked around, the lights would flicker. Okay. Sounds kind of odd, right? So I jump on the floor here for two or three places, and the same thing happens. Well, we got issues with this house. Anyway, I'm working around the gas stove and got to disconnect it, move it outside so I can paint the place naturally. And when I disconnect the gas stove, the lights go out. Okay, time to call the electrician.
Yep.
We can fix a short, but this is a little more than that. And what happened, they'd grounded the house to the gas pipe. Okay, so mm-hmm. the gas pipe was basically electrified at certain times. Anyway, it... I pulled the main breaker, of course, and turned the thing off and pulled the meter just to be safe. Called the electrician up, and we got to the bottom of it. But that's one to talk about.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott Hill with Callis First Home Inspections, you've seen a lot, but they do ground the gas line.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, they do ground the gas lines, and they ground the electrical, the grounding wire sometime to that gas line on the outside. Mm-hmm. They don't do that much anymore at all, but yeah. They used to do it on the older houses. And, you know, it's one of those things that's not necessarily a defect unless all of a sudden what you found out, it becomes a defect. But it's something that you certainly should know about when you purchase the house.
Yeah. Well, I don't trust anything going to a gas pipe other than gas.
I don't blame you.
What is it that they bond the corrugated stainless steel tubing? Something has to be bonded to the electrical?
Yeah, the electrical process has to be bonded correctly to the CSST corrugated stainless steel tubing and grounded correctly as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't want a hole in your gas. Yes, in your gas line there. If it gets hit by lightning, that's the last thing you want is a hole in your tubing that holds that gas right next to your maybe your pilot light flame.
All of your all of your gas appliances there typically would end up in that same place. That's scary. Yeah. We call that out all the time.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you
Mark,
too.
Stay on and let Mike get your information so that we can send you a Casa Perico gift certificate. Okay?
Great.
Okay.
Fantastic. I don't like messing around with that gas.
Scott, what's the cost of a home inspection? We've only got a little less than 2 minutes, but I think people always wonder, is it worth having a home inspection financially?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we do home inspections under 1,000 square feet. We do them for $250. If it's between 1,000 square feet and 2,000 square feet, we're at $300. And at 325 up to 2,500 square feet, and everything over 2,500 square feet is 14 cents a square foot. Makes it really, really easy. We don't charge extra for fireplaces or sprinklers or extra HVAC systems. It's just a square footage charge.
That's good because, I mean, like if you were to do my home, it's got two hot water tanks. Mm-hmm. It's got three heating and air conditioning systems. I would want you to check them all.
Yeah, and we do. And, you know, that's one of the things that I just insisted on early on is we're just not going to, my term for all of our guys and girls are, you know, we're just not going to dink and dank and dunk people. Here, let's charge this price, do the entire thing, sprinkler system, whatever's there, give them a good mark. And you know what? It's worked out for us because people appreciate that, and they've generated business for us word of mouth, so it's worked out well.
Mark, how can they find Scott?
They can find Scott at BeckyIvins.com, BeckyIvins.com, and click on Becky's favorites.
I got a really good buy on my vowel because I got two I's for the price of one.
Well, thanks, Scott Hill from Callis First Inspections, for being here. Always great learning experience with you. Next week, we'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.